morning.
Good morning.
Please turn to Matthew chapter 7 if you have your Bibles. Thank you for that opening. I really appreciate all those songs. And that song, the last song that our sister sang, Thankful for the Scars. What a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus, right? I mean, we've all sinned and come short of God's standard. There's none righteous, no, not one. But the Lord Jesus Christ took all of our sins upon himself. He paid the full penalty for our sins on the cross. And he rose again the third day, showing us that he has victory over sin and death, and he's given us new life, so that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful Savior we have. Thankful for the scars. Matthew chapter 7, we'll read this in a few minutes. May the Lord help us as we open his word, and may he speak to our hearts from it. I grew up in a family culture I grew up in a family culture of judging others. It was just part of normal life, judging others. I was constantly hearing how motives were assigned to people and why they were assigned whenever someone did something. Assumptions were made and judgments were passed quite regularly. So judging others' motives was kind of ingrained for me from an early age. Rachel, on the other hand, she grew up in a very non-judgmental, no gossip, no nonsense family. So little by little, and by the grace of God, he's been so slowly chinking away at my judgmental heart over the years, and he's had a lot to chisel away. He's still working on me. So I can't say that I've ever spoken on these verses, judge not, and you shall not be judged. I tend to focus more on the verses a little later on in the chapter that says, we shall know them by their fruits, and that sort of thing. Those are my specialty verses, and I kind of left alone the first part of the chapter. Well, and as far as those, my former specialty verses in knowing them by their fruit, I'll just say, just in case there's anyone out there like myself, there are false teachers, and false teachers need to be, we can need to compare what false teachers say by the word of God, right? And so when it says that you shall know them by their fruits, the whole context of that section of the passage is actually talking about false teachers. It's not me going around to each one of you and taking inventory of your life and say, well, I'm the fruit inspector here, and there's this, and this. That's not the context at all. The context of what you shall know them by their fruits is referring to false teachers. So there's this common thread that's kind of been woven throughout the Sermon on the Mount, and I would just kind of summarize it like this, with the verse, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. For example, the religious leaders of the day, they were really concerned about their outward performance, but the Lord Jesus, he's addressing the heart. So when they were praying to be seen, the Lord, he addresses the heart. When they were giving to be seen, the Lord addresses the heart. When they had outward righteousness, they hadn't committed adultery, they hadn't murdered someone, the Lord addresses the heart. And so we see this commonly throughout the scriptures. And really, the religious people of Jesus' day, they were trying to show their righteousness outwardly. But the Lord Jesus says, righteousness, it's in the heart. And it's not something for, righteousness is not something for us to display for others to see. Righteousness for others to see and to be praised by others, but it's something that God sees in the heart. So in Matthew chapter 7, there's things that we should judge and there's things that we shouldn't judge. And I already mentioned one thing that we should judge. I guess first of all, if you have a red letter Bible, it's all read in Matthew chapter 7, so we know who's speaking. It's the Lord Jesus, but when we read through this, yes, it's the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And what does the scripture say about the Lord Jesus? In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8, they're quoting the psalmist who says, "Your throne, O God, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your right hand." And so two things from that verse that we get about the Lord Jesus as judge. First, his deity, "Thy throne, O God." The Son is God himself. And secondly, his judgment is righteous. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your right hand. So he rightly judges. He is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The Lord Jesus sees through all the outward stuff, and he sees right into our hearts. Also in the Psalms it says, lift up yourself, O judge of the earth. So let's let God be true, and he alone is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So let's read together Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 12. "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, 'Let me pull out the mote of your eye, or sliver out of your eye,' and behold the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the sliver out of your brother's eye. Give not that which is holy to the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would men do to you, do also so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." I find it interesting that the Lord Jesus, he begins this chapter, "Judge not that you be not judged," following his discussion about money and laying up treasures, and where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And the more we become used to judging other believers, you know, and how they spend their money that the Lord has entrusted into the care, the more we can adopt that Judas mentality, saying, "Well, if that would have been given to the church or to charity, you know how much good that would have been done, could have been done." And when actually how people spend their money is actually between them and the Lord, and they need to give an account to them, not to one of us. Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse 24, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And the two seem to be in contrast, how something really appears, and then what righteous judgment actually is. I have a little example here of this, "Judge not that you be not judged." There was a young Christian man who was walking with the Lord, and he wanted to date a young Christian woman who was also walking with the Lord. And the parents of the young Christian woman, they weren't really thrilled about this young man. And it had nothing to do with his personal walk, but he had a brother. And his brother was maybe wayward and not walking with the Lord. So they weren't thrilled about this, because they thought, well, what if this young man that wants to date our daughter ends up turning up like the brother? So there was some friction there, and the Lord Jesus, he doesn't want us to be judging others with their motive or association or the connection or, you know, the relation or the appearance. That has no part really in the kingdom of God. And we read in the Old Testament that the Father isn't not responsible for his son's sins, and the son's not responsible for his father's sins. But here they had made this connection. This guy's walking with the Lord. His brother isn't, you know, he might turn out like him. So we're not sure about this. The irony of the whole situation was the parents of the young woman had some children that were walking with the Lord and some children that weren't walking with the Lord. So if other parents had judged their children that were walking with the Lord by the same standard which they judged another family, then their children that were walking with the Lord wouldn't be dating anyone that was walking with the Lord. And the question is, how can we be blinded to our own, we can be blinded to our own hypocrisy. And how is it that we get our judgment all mixed up? It turns out that our judgment is viewed by the beam or the sliver that's in our own eye. You take a sliver and you hold it really close up to your eye and it looks quite large. I was going to bring toothpicks, but I didn't want anyone to get poked in the eye. But if you take something like a sliver or a toothpick and you hold it really close to your eye, or your finger close to your eye, you know, it really messes up your vision. You don't really see clearly. You're trying to see around things that are blocking it. And so our vision is actually distorted. So there are some things that we should not judge. I'd just like to review a few of them here quickly. And again, how man looks on the outward appearance, the Lord looks on the heart. And we don't, it's best to leave the judging of motives to others. When it comes to motives, the Lord sees the heart, not us. So Romans chapter 14 says that we should not judge other believers whose conscience does or does not allow them to do something which is not inherently right or wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says that we should not judge the service of another Christian. It's the Lord that says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so we're not to judge the service of another Christian. And again, James chapter 4, it says, when we speak evil of a brother or sister, we're actually judging them. The Lord says, there is one lawgiver, who are we that judges another? And how we measure and judge others, according to verse 2, is the same measure in which we ourselves will be judged. Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. I'll save that for a little later. Sorry. No. Luke chapter 7, verse 37. Sorry about that. It's also a parallel to the Sermon on the Mount. Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. It says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure, with all it shall be measured to you again. And the measuring rule, as pointed out in Luke and in Matthew here, it's the whole idea of, you know, how you measure, it's going to be measured back to you again. And sometimes we get to think, well, this is my standard. I'm pretty sure I can keep it. I mean, this is how I think things should be. And so I'm going to do that myself. And in the end, we end up doing the same things that that we know there's a better way to do it. But we just, in the end, sometimes we just don't even measure up to our own standard. Even that the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, the things that I really want to do, I end up not doing them. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing those. And I have a few small examples of how this has played out. And these people, I'm not going to mention their names other than myself, these people that they weren't harsh or judgmental or, actually, no, they weren't harsh or critical or, you know, really hardened about this, but they're just some small examples of how we end up doing the same things, which we think, well, we really wouldn't have wanted to do them if we did. So, for example, one of my daughters she has this habit of putting her coat on my chair where I sit at mealtime, and I said her name and pointed to the coat. I wasn't like mad or angry, I just, hey, and then I picked up the coat to give it to her, and what was underneath her coat? My hoodie. another quick one for you. There was this young guy who was giving all his friends a really hard time about having smartphones. He had a flip phone, and they're much more, you know, they're a lot better, I guess. Or they were, I don't think he associated righteousness with flip phones, but there was a lot of things they had against the smartphone. And then one day he met someone that wanted to communicate with them long distance, but that he required the app of a smartphone. So he ended up getting a smartphone. Another one, you know, a little cool breeze. The sun can be shining, it's windy or something, and I often see him wearing a toque. And so in June, I was wearing a toque. And someone said something to me about wearing a toque. And then the weather was such, the beginning of July, they were wearing a toque. So it's just some cute little examples that we sometimes, you know, this is our standard. Daryl doesn't like this coat on his chair, but his hoodie's on the chair. And the things that we don't want to do, we do, and vice versa. So the point is, the same way in which we measure and judge others, it kind of comes back towards us. And if we don't want to be judged, then we need to be careful in how we judge others. So sooner or later, we just don't measure up to even our own standard. Verse 6, it says, "Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." And so here we actually need judgment. We actually need discernment. Now, if we share the gospel with someone, I would take this verse to mean that if we share the gospel with someone and they completely trash and trample it, there's no point going on, you know, sharing with them the glories of Christ or the types of Christ from the scriptures. So let's read Matthew 7, verse 7 to 12. "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, of whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." In our name it and claim it generation, we kind of subconsciously interpret these verses to mean that, you know, if we ask God to bless us materially, he'll bless us materially. If only we ask in his name, or, you know, in Jesus' name, and he'll come and do it. And we mistakenly associated God's blessing with the things we get, with, you know, materialism. And the Bible is clear, and we were singing kind of the verse from James chapter 4. "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." And it's good for us to be fervent in prayer for those that don't know the Lord. Do we ask the Lord's help to be a shining light at school and at work? Do we ask the Lord to open the eyes of the understanding, those we want to share the gospel with? Do we ask the Lord to open our own eyes as we read through his word each day? There's so many wonderful things that we can ask the Lord for. And we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, to be clear, we do have physical needs that the Lord delights in supplying. "Give us this day our daily bread." We were talking about that a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, we had a prayer meeting on a Sunday night, and we prayed for the healing of the Hallam's cow. And the Hallams, they shared how there was a dairy farmer they had out a couple times, they had a vet out a couple times, and they're all stumped. But we prayed for the healing of this cow, and the Lord healed this cow. The Lord, he cares about every little detail of our life. When we travel, we pray for people traveling. We need to ask the Lord to preserve our going out and our coming in when we travel. We look to the Lord for direction in life. If our earthly parents reward a child's request for what is best for them, not necessarily what they want, but what is best for them, how much more will our Heavenly Father do the same? I think verse 12 is kind of the key to this whole passage. "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And I have a little car story for you. There was this family, and they had a Pontiac Transport van. So all you car people will know that those vans used to be, they had a super engine transmission back in the day. But they had, there was 300,000 kilometers on this van. And there was another family, another Christian family, that their vehicle, they only had one vehicle, it broke down. And so they gave them this van with 300,000 kilometers on it. And it was in, it was a mechanic, it was in fine working order. And then that family, you know, after, I don't know, half a year, they had, they could take care of things, and then they got their own vehicle. And then they gave that vehicle to another young family with children that needed a minivan. And so there was no strings attached in any of this giving. But then that family that initially gave that minivan to that family, several years later, someone gave them a vehicle with like 50,000 kilometers on it or something like that. So I'm sharing that not because if you give away your hatchback tomorrow, the next day you'll get a BMW. That's not how it works. And I'm not saying that. It's just the whole judging, by which measure you judge, it'll be measured to you again. And we read it, and look, by which measure you give, it'll be given to you again. And so there was certainly no expectation from this family that anyone would ever give them a vehicle, but they ended up receiving a vehicle. And I share that just, I think it fits in with this stuff. All things whatsoever you have meant to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And our Heavenly Father, He's a very good giver of gifts. I mean, He's given the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. He's a very good giver of gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And since our Heavenly Father gives good gifts, we should also show kindness in how we give to others. At this point, in the Sermon on the Mount, we're beginning to piece a lot of things together on how this wonderful picture is of how the Lord Jesus Christ desires life to be in His kingdom. This is one more piece of the puzzle, and we're leaving the judging of motives and connection and all that sort of judging to the Lord who sees the heart. And we want to be whatever others would do to us. We want to do to others what we want them to do to us. So that I'll invite Jesse back, and may the Lord bless the reading of His word this morning.